Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Football fans are getting excited about Friday's FIFA 2018 World Cup draw in Moscow. During the festivities at the State Kremlin Palace, 32 teams will be drawn into 8 groups of 4. For our VOA World Cup fans keeping score, those 32 teams are, in alphabetical order, Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, Croatia, Denmark, Egypt, England, France, defending champion Germany, Iceland, Iran, Japan, Mexico, Morocco, Nigeria, Panama, Peru, Poland, Portugal, host Russia, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Serbia, South Korea, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, Tunisia, and Uruguay. World football's governing body, FIFA, has already set the 8 top seeds for the draw. They are host Russia and the top 7 qualifiers from FIFA's October rankings: Germany, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Belgium, Poland, and France. FIFA President Gianni Infantino says he's really looking forward to Friday's draw. Before traveling to Moscow, Infantino addressed a few World Cup-related topics at FIFA headquarters in Zurich, Switzerland. FIFA has been using video assistant referee technology in some of its tournaments. Infantino says a decision will be made in March as to whether the technology will be used at the 2018 World Cup in Russia.
We expect both referees and teams to be benefiting from technology. We are in 2018, very soon, and I think it is absolutely normal that in 2018 we can explore and see how we can help the referee and the team to take the right decision, the correct decision. So video assistant refereeing is a topic which will be decided in March of next year, but the experience so far has been extremely positive to help the referee not to commit big mistakes, which obviously as a human being he can do, and this benefits him and benefits the team. And in addition to this, we'll obviously have as well goal line technology, which makes sure that if a goal is scored, well, it will be awarded to the team that has scored it.
Doping in football is no laughing matter, and the FIFA president also talked about that issue.
Speaking about doping, obviously all players in all teams will be tested in competition and out of competition by WADA accredited laboratories, and we are sure that everyone is well aware of this situation and the fair play will reign in this respect.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino speaking in Zurich, Switzerland. And we'll hear more from Infantino during Wednesday's show. In more World Cup news, Juan Antonio Pizzi is the new head coach of World Cup-bound Saudi Arabia, and he'll represent the team at Friday's World Cup draw in Moscow. The 49-year-old Pizzi is from Argentina, and he replaces another Argentine coach, Edgardo Bauza. Pizzi was most recently in charge of Chile, and he guided the team to the final of this year's FIFA Confederations Cup tournament in Russia. but he resigned after Chile failed to qualify for the 2018 World Cup. Saudi Arabia will be making its fifth World Cup appearance at Russia 2018. The best showing by the Saudis came at their debut World Cup at USA 1994 when they reached the round of 16. In Major League Soccer news, Toronto FC's Greg Vanney has been named the MLS Coach of the Year. The 43-year-old Vanney received 37% of the votes by MLS team officials, players, and media. Toronto FC won the league's Supporters' Shield for best regular season record, 20 wins, 5 losses, and 9 draws for a league record 69 points. And Toronto FC will host the Columbus Crew Wednesday night in the decisive second leg of the Eastern Conference Final. The teams played to a scoreless draw in the first leg. And the defending MLS Cup champion Seattle Sounders are at home against the Houston Dynamo Thursday night in the Western Conference Final. The Sounders won the first leg 2-0. The winners of the two series will advance to the MLS Cup title game on December 9th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll hear from the National Basketball Association's Managing Director for Africa. The National Basketball Association says it tipped off another regular season last month with 108 international players from a record 42 countries. 12 players from Africa were on opening night rosters, and other players like Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks have ties to Africa. Antetokounmpo was born in Greece, but his parents are from Nigeria. The Senegalese big man, Amadou Gallo Fall, says he believes we'll be seeing more African players in the NBA in the years to come. Fall is a NBA vice president and the league's managing director for Africa. Earlier this year, I had a chance to chat with Amadou about the growth and development of the game in Africa. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as I ask Amadou, how did you become interested in basketball?
Wow. Yeah, just like most young people across the continent, we all first, maybe our exposure to sport is by kicking something, you know? So we all grew up playing football. I was taller than most people in my age class. And I have a brother who was taller than me. He was studying in France, and he came back one summer and brought a basketball. And just I started messing with it. And everybody was suggesting that, hey, I should play basketball because I was so tall. But where I was before I moved to Dakar, I didn't have access to a court. So I only started playing later in high school, actually.
Did you play at the collegiate level?
Yes, I played in Washington, D.C., actually. That's how I got to the U.S. I met a Peace Corps volunteer who went back to D.C. and recommended to a coach that he met a young guy from Africa, from Senegal, who was 6'8". So the coach sent me scholarship letters without never seeing me play. I think it was good enough to hear 6'8". So that's how I got to D.C. I went to school there at the University of the District of Columbia, graduated in 1993.
Well, as we talk now, Amadou, you're now instrumental in the NBA in Africa. Can you talk about the league's history in Africa? especially that Basketball Without Borders program.
Yeah, so it's a long history and tradition between the NBA and the continent, and with it all dated back to 1984. I'm pretty sure there may have been some player visits before, because I ran into some legends who've talked about their experiences early 70s. But really, for us, I'm thinking 1984 when Hakeem Olajuwon got drafted first overall, and then subsequently you got Manute Bol, Dikembe Mutombo, who's now our global ambassador. Those were the pioneers who really paved the way. Now we have a host of young stars from the continent, from multiple countries. I think in the early 90s, 1993 exactly, then Commissioner David Stern led a delegation, including Patrick Ewing and Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe Mutombo, and actually our colleague Kim Bahuri, who is the Senior Vice President for Basketball Operations International, for a visit to Johannesburg. And in 1994, Commissioner Stern was actually present at President Nelson Mandela's inauguration as President of South Africa. So it's a long tradition that culminated in the start of Basketball Without Borders Africa Camp in 2003. And we've been conducting that flagship basketball development program in which we partner with FIBA since 2003. And did it every year, and that eventually led to us deciding to open an office and have a physical presence on the ground, because we saw tremendous potential for basketball development and, most importantly, an opportunity to really, really have an impact in African communities using our game as a conduit.
Amadou, you mentioned a couple of those pioneers from Africa, Mutombo and Olajuwon. They both kind of honed their basketball skills at the university level here in the USA before going to the NBA. How do you see basketball development changing in Africa in the future?
In December 2016, we announced the launch of NBA Academy Africa. As part of a global network of elite training centers, the NBA is launching around the world that focus on a holistic player development approach, where young people who have the skills and the talent, the potential to grow into elite players, will have an opportunity year-round to be surrounded and put in an environment that is conducive to elite development, just like what happens in some of the most advanced countries. I think what's common about Dikembe and Hakeem's story, and to a certain extent some of us who came in the college ranks much later, we basically stumbled into the game by, I would say, through a lot. I talked to Hakeem. He would say that there was a coach from the U.S. who came to his school, and then 6 months later, he's in Houston, going to the University of Houston. Dikembe went to the U.S. not on a basketball scholarship, but he was a pre-med student, had a scholarship from USAID, and hence he didn't play his freshman year at Georgetown. So just to tell you that these guys, there's so many probably other Dikembes or potential Hakeem who were never discovered, but who probably were equally as talented. So now with the launch of NBA Academy Africa, we are taking a proactive role into making sure that these players from Africa are not coming into the NBA or the college ranks just by pure luck. Since we launched Basketball Without Borders in 2003, there's been 9 players from the camps who have been drafted in the NBA. Some of the names we know: Gorgui Dieng at Minnesota, Joel Embiid in Philadelphia, who was here in 2011, and Pascal Siakam being the last one drafted this last June. There's a growing number of players from Africa, but I'm really excited about the opportunity now that the NBA Africa Academy presents to not only go out and identify young elite talent from across the continent, but get them in a place where they will undergo elite, world-class type of training. So we've hired NBA coaches, NBA trainers, physiotherapists, and they will be given all the tools to really maximize their potential. So the number of players from Africa in the continent in our league is only going to continue to grow, and they will come in with better skills, they will be better prepared. And to note also that they will be going to school. So when I talk about that holistic approach, we are going to teach these young people the fundamentals of the game, but we parlay it with important life skills that will help them to grow to be complete human beings.
That's Amadou Gallo-Fall, NBA Vice President and the NBA's Managing Director for Africa. And Amadou spoke with me from Johannesburg, South Africa. Amadou mentioned Joel Embiid, the 23-year-old center for the Philadelphia 76ers, who hails from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Embiid scored 30 points and grabbed 11 rebounds Monday night, but it wasn't enough to lead his team to victory. Philadelphia fell at home to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, 113-91. LeBron tallied 30 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists for the Cavs, who won their 8th consecutive game. After the contest, Embiid was asked if he learned anything from the loss.
Man, just play our game. I think tonight we didn't pass the ball well. We had a low number of assists, so we didn't move the ball well. And defensively, they were more physical than us, so we got to get better at that.
Before the game, Cleveland's head coach, Tyronn Lue, praised Joel Embiid for his skills.
Just a tremendous talent. I mean, he might hit the running sky hook, the Euro step, shooting threes, mid-range, facing up, shooting off the glass, put it on the floor, back down. So he has a total package offensively. So it's a tough challenge, and he's got to be ready to help and defend him collectively.
Cleveland Cavaliers basketball coach Tyronn Lue. Joining us once again on the show is Sunnyside Sports contributor Dan Friedel. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. Nice to talk with you again. And the morning after some interesting games and news-filled evening in the NBA.
Dan, we heard Tyronn Lue, the Cleveland Cavaliers coach, describe Joel Embiid as the total package offensively. And earlier in the show, Amadou Gallo-Fall, the NBA's managing director for Africa, he mentioned Joel Embiid, but he also mentioned Akeem the Dream Olajuwon, describing Olajuwon as one of the pioneers out of Africa in terms of basketball. Do you see any similarity between Joel Embiid and Hakeem the Dream?
Well, you have to just look at their athleticism. I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon wasn't known for shooting three-pointers, but Joel Embiid has actually added that to his game this year as well. I know he's never going to be somebody like Steph Curry, who's shooting 40% from outside, but that's just another tool that he has in his tool belt as far as being able to be a down by the rim player and an outside player who can really stretch out the defense. I mean, he's giving basketball fans a look at what the Sixers saw and what a lot of college basketball fans saw a few years ago when he was at the University of Kansas. It's been exciting to see his ability to play on a regular basis this year after basically missing the first two seasons of his professional career.
You mentioned Embiid trying to add that three-point shot to his arsenal. He commented after the loss to the Cavs, Dan, that he felt like he spent much of the game in or around the three-point line. Do you think that was part of Cleveland's strategy to push him away from the paint, so to speak?
Well, one of the other things that I saw in the recap about that game was that Jay Crowder, the Cavs' recently arrived forward from Boston, decided that he was going to pressure Ben Simmons, who's the, he was in the league last year but missed the entire season with a foot injury. Ben Simmons has been a really strong player in his first season in the NBA. A lot of people were hailing this matchup last night between the Cavs and the 76ers as a matchup of the present and the future between LeBron James and Ben Simmons, because a lot of people have said that their game is very similar, where both of those players are able to score and rebound and assist. And Simmons was really neutralized. He left the game late in the game with an ankle injury. But Crowder said that he was going to try to play Simmons further out and not let him get ahead of steam and drive toward the basket where he could pass. And that's probably why Embiid was a little bit passive and a little bit playing outside instead of being on the receiving end of some of Simmons's passes. So I think it all had to do with the way the Cavs decided to come out and play against the 76ers last night. And if you take a look at it, it seems to be working for the Cavs. They've won 8 in a row and 9 out of their last 10.
Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, part of what's being described as an up-and-coming Philadelphia team, Dan, a young Philadelphia team. How important do you see Embiid, a healthy Embiid, being to Philly's success?
You have to look at him as one of these exciting young players. I mean, especially the players with African heritage, like Giannis Antetokounmpo from Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee's kind of come back to earth a little bit recently. They've only won 5 out of their last 5. But he's a player also. Antetokounmpo, Embiid, other players in the league who seem to have the ability to play in different sorts of roles. I was watching an NBA talk show recently, and one of the analysts was saying that there really are just 2 positions anymore in the NBA, and then there's a bunch of athletic players around those 2 positions. You know, there's a center, and there's a point guard, and then there's 3 guys who can do it all. And we're starting to see that more and more, that even the 7-footers can do it all. So if the 76ers are going to make good on their promise from a few years ago, this is going to be the combination that's going to lead them there, the Embiid-Simmons combination. We'll see if they can keep it going. I mean, you know, we're only 1/4 of the way through the season at this point, and there's still a lot of time left. You have a team like Cleveland that was struggling early on. They finally seem to have gotten it together. You have a team like Detroit. Detroit looks pretty solid. Andre Drummond had a great game last night against the Celtics. We haven't mentioned that yet. He had a historic performance with over 20 points and 20 rebounds and a handful of assists, helping the Pistons beat the Celtics. There's still a long way to go in this season, but it'll be exciting to see how the 76ers can keep going. I mean, here are 2 players that are so important to the franchise. They haven't even really played more than 40 or 50 games in their career yet, so we'll have to check back once we get past the new year, 2018, and see how Simmons and Embiid are working together.
Andre Drummond, 26 points and 22 rebounds to help power the Pistons to a 118-108 victory over the Boston Celtics. Drummond leading the NBA in rebounding, Dan. We got about a minute left in the show. How about some comments on Andre Drummond?
Well, I've actually seen the Pistons play quite a lot in the last few years, and Drummond has been one of these players that I think people have said that he has all the ability. He just needs to be a little bit more consistent. He's never had a problem with rebounding because he's a, you know, 7-foot tall guy. He's very strong. He's very demanding underneath the basket, and he gets those rebounds, but his offense sometimes has been lacking. You know, he's a double-double scorer, and when he really gets it going like he did last night, he can score over 20 points a game. So that's certainly been a huge part of the Pistons' success. Of course, Stan Van Gundy now is the coach for, I think, 3 seasons. He's getting the kind of players that he wants. If you remember, Van Gundy was so successful as the Orlando Magic coach in the first part of the 2000s. So the Pistons, I think, are a team that some teams are going to have trouble with in the playoffs, especially the teams that don't have that physical presence underneath the basket to combat Drummond.
Dan Friedel. Thank you, Dan.
Happy to be here, Sonny.
And that wraps up the November 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On his recent trip to Sudan, Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan stressed that the United States remains committed to engagement with Sudan on a wide range of topics, including the protection of religious freedom and the promotion of other human rights throughout Sudan. In June 2016, Sudan and the United States initiated the so-called five-track engagement plan that required the Sudanese government to cease hostilities in Darfur and the two areas of South Kordofan and Blue Nile states, improve humanitarian access throughout Sudan, refrain from interfering in South Sudan and play a constructive role in regional peace efforts, cooperate with regional efforts to counter the Lord's Resistance Army, and build U.S.-Sudanese cooperation on counterterrorism. In each area, the government of Sudan has made measurable progress. As a result, the United States revoked certain U.S. sanctions on Sudan. But the completion of the five-track engagement plan, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan, is only a first step on a longer road toward fully normalizing our bilateral relations. For Sudan to become a full partner of the United States, it must seek peace within its borders and with its neighbors, and cooperate reliably with the international community to improve security and prosperity in the region and adhere to long-standing international norms, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. In the years ahead, one measure of the strength of the U.S.-Sudanese relationship will be improvements in Sudan's respect for human rights, and in particular, religious freedom. Interfaith understanding, respect, and the protection of religious freedom and other human rights are bulwarks against extremism, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. When governments favor a specific religious, ethnic, or sectarian group over others, violent radicalism thrives. The United States calls on Sudan to protect political opposition members, human rights defenders, civil society groups, and the media. We also urge the government to hold accountable all who are responsible for human rights abuses, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. The U.S. looks forward to working with Sudan to promote a more peaceful and prosperous Sudan, a Sudan that respects the rights of persons of every faith.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lino Armoudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.